Good morning, good morning, good morning. Can I get a good morning back from you all? It was so funny. I was ringing the bell and I was, you know, I guess apparently extra enthusiastic today. But somebody said, I can't talk very well with other people when she's ringing that bell. Is that not epic? That's epic. I love it. All that to say, ladies, it's so good to be together again on this Wednesday morning, to be in Romans 8. Has Romans 8 not been amazing? Yes. So, you guys, I had the chance to get away last week. I'm going to just show you a picture. I literally sat there for 7 days. And it was amazing. People ask, what did we do on vacation? I'm not actually kidding when I say I sat there from the time I woke to the time that the sun set, like 5 out of 7 days or five. And those are my feet, yeah. What do you think, Doreen? What do you think of those feet? They get a thumbs up? I had to show that I was there by having my feet in there, right? Like, I'm in this picture. all that to say, I had a lot of opportunity to sit and reflect and be quiet, to read. I feel like I have a lot of reverb today. It's pretty cool to have an echo, but not so cool. Okay. Thanks, ladies. We got a good team back there. I love them. All that to say, I had a lot of time to be quiet, and that's a gift. And one of the things that I did during that time is I sat with, I do this pretty much anytime I get a time of solitude, but I sat with some different Puritan prayers. And I do that partly because I think sometimes they give just words to our heart, but also I think they're really rich. And what I do is I tend to rewrite them because they have a lot of these and thous. Oh, you guys, you already put it up there. Wow, awesome. But they have a lot of these and thous, and they use language that is a little bit, look, you're already taking pictures. Wow. all that to say, I was pretty moved by some of these prayers. And this is one, just one of many that I pulled up. This is not in Puritan language. This is rewritten by Christina, so that's more. But I would love to just read this prayer to you guys. Father, let no strong affection for the world take root in me. May I live high above a love for the things that are temporal. Let your love, Lord, be what fills me. Let your glory be my joy. Sorry, I don't know why I'm crying. Let your truth be my pathway and your cross be my resting place. Where I am not right, set me right and keep me right. Father, may these thoughts keep me steadfast and comfort my soul. Amen. I'm actually just going to give you guys a minute to sit with this prayer. I want you to sit with the truths of this prayer. And then I want us to pray it together. But I'm just going to give you a moment to reflect on this. I encourage you to take one line of this prayer, and I want you to just repeat it right now in your mind and heart. Just choose one. Let's pray this together. Father, Father, we just come before you this morning, and all we have to offer is ourselves. So we lay ourselves before you, and we, Lord, we ask that you would then come and fill us with your Spirit, as we are already filled by being your children, God, but would you move in us? Lord, we trust that there are great truths that you have for us to glean this morning. That there are things you want to change in us or move in us or help us understand. Lord, I pray that we would be women who are attentive to your voice this morning, aware that we are desperately in need of you. And Lord, I do pray that we would be a community of women where you are detaching our hearts from this world and attaching our hearts to your kingdom. That you grow our affections for you in profound ways. That you help us to see you, that you turn our faces to you. Lord, that your glory truly would be our joy. That your truth would be our pathway. And Lord, we just acknowledge that there is so much in us that isn't right, that needs your loving, corrective hand. Lord, we pray that you would make us right before you by your cleansing Holy Spirit, by your grace and your mercy. And Lord, we pray that you would then keep us right, that we might be reflections of your kingdom to the world around us. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much that we get to gather to do this on Wednesday mornings. And we pray that everything that happens here this morning is like incense rising to you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, we're in for a treat this morning. We have a spotlight. And our spotlight this morning is Cody Miller. And all of you who stand up here are gifts, but Cody's like a Grammy to my daughter. She has embraced my daughter like a grandma. And so, Cody, I'm just so grateful you're willing to come up and share. Look at your fans. You already have fans.
What do I just hold it right there.
Okay.
Keep it close. Yes, ma'am. Oh my gosh, this is scarier than I thought. I was born into the Presbyterian Church and have been involved in the church all my life. I didn't have major difficulties growing up. My life was relatively easy, and I often relied on myself. In reality, however, it was God's strength and protection, not my own. He always had his powerful hand on me, whether I acknowledged it or not. After college, I began working for social services. It was there that I met my husband, Lee. He was divorced, and his two children lived with him. When we married, I had an instant family, a daughter aged 10 and a son aged 8. Then between us, we had a son. Our family was complete. We were an outdoorsy family. Lee introduced me to skiing, hiking, and biking, and our vacations were road trips to national parks. We shared lots of family time. Our lives were full, and later we were blessed with 4 grandchildren in 4 years. Our youngest son had 3 of those kids in 3.5 years. So we were busy. Be careful what you wish for. After 45 years together, I began noticing a decline in Lee and the neurologist diagnosed him with dementia in 2017. With a heavy heart, I placed him in a facility in Costa Mesa in November 2020. The facility hadn't had COVID. However, that changed quickly, and Lee passed away in January, only 2 months later. It was a huge shock, and those first months were a blur. A friend suggested I look into GriefShare, and this was invaluable, and I highly recommend it to anyone who has experienced a loss. The verse from Isaiah 41:10 became so important to me. Do not fear, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Lee and I had been a team throughout our marriage, and I was now alone and knew I couldn't rely on my own strength. God provided me with supportive friends and family members, and it was his strength and grace guiding me. One of my dreams had been to travel to Scotland. I was a MacGregor and wanted to see the homeland of my ancestors. A friend suggested I take a tour. After speaking with a representative from a tour company for over an hour, I impulsively made a reservation for August night of 2023. Yikes, what had I done? I had never traveled internationally, never alone, and here I was going to Scotland by myself. I prayed a lot, thinking of that verse from Isaiah, because I was fearful. Soon after boarding my flight, a very chatty man and his wife sat down next to me. Turns out he was the mayor of Costa Mesa, and he set my mind at ease. On the flight from Heathrow to Glasgow, another chatty man was my seatmate. He walked with me to the baggage claim area, saw my luggage tag, and said he was also a miller. He stayed with me until the tour guide arrived. Each day, God put people in my path to guide and encourage me. From the tour guide, who always said she was putting a sprinkle on the cupcake, a lovely woman from New Mexico, we became friends and palled around together, the hotel concierge and the airport personnel. Throughout my life, God has never left me, even when I've relied on my own strength. His words from Isaiah, "Do not fear, I will strengthen you and help you," have sustained me. Often it's in the looking back rather than in the moment when I really see his provision. I don't need to fear because he is with me, never letting go of my hand. Thank you.
Come on, is she not dear? One of the things she didn't share, and I'm going to share on your behalf, how many miles did you bike on one of your trips?
257.
I'm sorry, 257 miles. And I'm going to say this from the pulpit, though I shouldn't. She's a total badass, okay? So.
That was my name.
They actually called her that on the trip, but I called her that not knowing it, so. I would love to pray for Cody. That was beautiful. Father, we just, we thank you for Cody. We thank you for who she is, that you have brought her to be part of our community. We thank you for the life that she had with Lee. We thank you that it was such a gift that we know that the love still creates great grief. Father, we thank you that you are continuing to show her that she does not need to be afraid, that you are with her, that you will strengthen her and help her. We pray that you would implant these truths not only in her heart, but you would do that in ours, Lord. That those of us who are experiencing fear would be reminded that we don't have to be afraid, that you are with us, that you will strengthen us and you will help us. Father, I pray over Cody.
I pray that you would continue to give her a vision for what you have for her life, for her love, for her interests, Lord. And I pray that you would continue to give her an ability to walk in boldness into that life you have for her. Lord, we thank you just again for her life here and what you're doing through her. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Cody, get the tears flowing. Actually, they were already flowing, weren't they? Get them flowing more. All right, so we have a gift this morning. We have another guest teacher. This has been a fun stint to have guest teachers. And this morning we have Michelle Vail. You can give a little shout out for Michelle. Michelle has been part of our community, I want to say like 4 years? I don't know. I shouldn't be guessing. Why am I guessing? She's a lover of God's word. Truly, if you talk to her about God's word, she lights up at the excitement over all the connections in God's word. And I thought because of that love, she would be a great person to have teach. She also has a very tender soul. She's super creative. She actually serves in our blessing ministry. She's now the leader of the mentor moms, so she's got that going on. And her husband, Blake, is our newest elder on the elder board at Grace. But one of the things I appreciated in her process is I experienced her deep enthusiasm to teach. Where are you, Michelle? Can I say that it's your first time doing this? Can I say that? It's her first time doing this, and you're like, no, and you just did. one of the things I so appreciated was the enthusiasm that even in her preparation and our dialogue together, that was just coming through. So I'm sure that we're going to get to experience that this morning. So with that, I'm going to read our verses, and then our song this morning was actually chosen by Michelle, and I loved it. I've never heard it before, and it's Quiet by Hillsong. But here's our passage. I'm on page 127, by the way. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Here's our song.
Go again, my mind racing, and I can't seem to win. All these crazy thoughts and feelings, it's like it never ends until your voice breaks through my noise. And I know I'm not alone, I'm not alone. You will fight my battles if I will just be still. Why would I keep running when you're right here? I'll just be quiet. Let you speak through the silence. Here I am, no more hiding. You are in this moment. To know what comes next. Tomorrow's in your hands. I can trust you with my future, 'cause you're already there. I hear your voice call me forward. I know I'm not alone, I'm not alone. Away with the distractions, I wanna hear what's true. The only words that matter, they come from you. So I'll just be quiet and let you speak through the silence. Here I am, no more hiding. You are in this moment. Be quiet.
Thanks. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and that the meditations of all of our hearts, Lord, would be pleasing in your sight, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. So Hi, I'm Michelle, and I'll just get this out of the way because I'm always so distracted by accents when people are talking. So Lubbock, Texas, I'm from Lubbock, Texas. The South Plains, the Panhandle, cotton, cattle, and oil. That's where I'm from. And I try really hard to have a California accent, but it comes out. Texas comes out all the time. So, our verse. I'll read it one more time. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, give us all things? So he is for you. In Romans 8:31, we know that Paul is speaking to the Christians, and they're being persecuted and hunted, and their bodies are being burned as an example of what will happen to you if you choose to follow this person saying he's the Messiah. They're afraid, and they need to know that someone is for them. So this is a big deal. This is the encouragement they need. So what's it like knowing that someone is for you? My vantage point right now, I see people smiling at me that are for me with like laser beams of support bursting from their eyes like Terry right now. So thank you. It feels really good. It feels good to know that people are for you. Someone in my life that was for me is Gigi. She was my great-grandmother. That's why we called her Gigi. And her real name was Beulah. And I talk about her anytime I can, so of course I worked her into this talk, sorry. So Beulah was born in 1896 in Slayton, Texas, which is even further in the Panhandle. And she was a true settler of the South Plains. She literally rode in a covered wagon, would tell us stories of sitting on the back of her, like the covered wagon with her dad on a block of ice, because they would get the ice, they would take it home, they would put it in the cellar, and that would keep their food cold in the summer. So really cool stories. We adored her. My sister and I adored her. She adored us. And we would go to see her. We would go to her house, and she had a drawer full of candy with like Andes mints and just the best things. So we'd give her a quick hug, run to our drawer, and eat our candy. She was really fun. She also was the one who would stand in between my sister and me and our dad when he was in a raging alcoholic, you know, episode. So she was sweet, she was strong, and she was for us. When I would go to her, we would go straight to Gigi's house after, like, a softball game, if I'd gotten a trophy. And I would show it to her, and she would put my face in her hands, and she would go, "Well, my lands." So I have "my lands" written and framed in my house because I just love that. So, now still talking about Gigi. Sorry. There she is. Okay, this is Gigi. I'm a baby. She's obsessed with me. Look at how she's looking at me. I mean, that was just her all the time. She just made you think you were the best thing ever. So her name Beulah is in Isaiah 62:4, and this is when God tells his people, basically, they've been thought of as forgotten. They felt forgotten, they felt left, and he says, "I'm giving you a new name, and your land is now called Beulah, and it means married to me. You are married to me." He's their provider, he's their protector. It's the ultimate, "I am for you." And Gigi obviously was for me, and I know that God was for her because her life, I won't go into it, but it was, trust me, it was wild and crazy in the South. Okay, so God, this is what it's like when someone is for you. And that's a really good feeling, and God is for us. What about when someone is against you? And we all know, unfortunately, I'm sure we all know how that feels. The Christians had the Romans against them. We have others that are against us sometimes. We have ourselves, because we can be self-destructive. So we have that to fight. And then we have the enemy, who's just coming at us from all sides. So to me, nature is a really, I really think nature just organizes a lot of things in my brain. And I don't know if you guys, well, I'm going to say this first. I love all animals, like all animals, even cats. But I am in a very weird category because I love cats, but they do not love me. And I try so hard to be friends with cats. It's like my arm would look like what Ziggy did to Christina. Like, they like hate me. They run away. But it's okay. All other animals love me, even crows. I'm trying to make friends with crows right now. I think nature really does. It's unscripted. There's no Hollywood ending. It is what it is. Whatever happens, happens. I've been watching Jackie and Shadow. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Yay! Okay, good. So the eagles of Big Bear, there are this eagle's nest, and like it's on my TV 24/7, just so I can walk by and kind of check on the chicks and, you know, make sure they're getting fed. And I don't know if you guys saw this. Maybe you did. So they've had this nest has been there for years. Last year their eggs didn't hatch and it was really sad. This year 3 eggs hatched. Super exciting. Unfortunately, during the snowstorm, one of them died. And it was really sad. That day, I was super bummed, and I was kind of just glued to the TV. So I was just, you know, watching these other two. And there's this one chick that was born like 5 days after the other one, so he's really small and kind of weak. And the dad, Shadow, is his turn to feed. So he's feeding, and he has brought back a fish. He's feeding the big one. The big one's eating it up. And the little one is like, I'm like, feed the little one. Feed the little one. No, he does not feed the little one. And I'm getting anxious. So he doesn't feed the little one, but the big one is so full of all the food that he drops a piece. So the little guy, who is like literally 4 days old, he like wiggles over and gets the piece of meat that the big one dropped. And I'm like, oh, thank you, you know, thank Lord. The dad reaches over, takes it away from the little guy, gives it to the big guy. And I think I was like, what? Like, I was yelling at the TV. And I'm like, who is going to help this eagle? And you can't do that. Like, we're only observers. No one's going to, like, you know, drone in and, like, feed the bird like you want him to. So this was a few weeks ago. I'm talking about how God is for us. I'm like, I am so for that little bird right now. And it feels like the dad is against him. This is wrong. I was just outraged. And I was thinking, you know, like, the dad should know what to do. He should know better. Our parents should know how to raise us. They should always be for us. They should always make the right decisions. Who's looking out for that bird? Who was looking out for me when I was growing up? I can look at my life. And just, it's the fact that I'm even here right now in Orange County talking to a group of amazing women is really... It doesn't kind of make sense. Like, I grew up in Lubbock, Texas. But the journey from Lubbock to here isn't what's so significant. It's from a family, an alcoholic father, a workaholic mom who really just kind of abandoned us, to be honest. And I can look at my life and go, who was for me? You know, who was watching out for me? It's so clear. It was God. God was always watching out for me and still is, whether I felt it or could see it or even can see it in my past. He really was watching out for me. It's astonishing. And I know that this room is full of stories like that where you're like, I don't know how I got through that season. I don't know how I even got to this point. I don't know how my marriage got to this point. I don't know how my kid got to that point. Clearly, God was for me. He was for us. And he's for the ones we love. So, generational sin breakers, like I said, my sister and I, we're both generational sin breakers, and that's not easy. Our family goes back in 3 generations, all 3 have adultery, alcoholism, and abuse, and with my sister and me, it stops with us, and that's our prayer, and that's what we've claimed, and And it's truth. It's true. We are breaking that and have broken that. And when we feel unsafe, psychologically, we have lots of different kind of ways of, our brain goes to different places. You know, we freeze, we fight, we lie, we plan and try to prepare. But for me, I fought. I was a fighter. And because I was parentified at a young age, I really believed the lie that no one's going to take care of things, it's up to me. So I'm going to fight and I'm going to plan. And I was a big planner. I even told my mom one time, if she wasn't going to divorce my dad, that I was moving out. I'm leaving. So, but then I became more and more aware of his protection, his planning, his defending for me, and that he has a bigger purpose. He's the author. He's the author of every story. And he's the author of my story, not me, and that's good. So if I were, though, going to choose a fighter for me, it would be a lion. And he would have big, snarly teeth and, like, bulging muscles when he walks and his shoulders. And I would feel safe knowing that this guy was for me and protecting me. But in God's wisdom, he gives me this. And this, I love this graphic. This is from an album called Lion. I think that is so cool. It's the perfect, just perfect graphic with lion next to it. So how does our own self-destructive behavior and thoughts and other people, who can fight a God who conquers death with sacrifice? No one. That's the answer to Paul's question. In the song Quiet that we heard before, I love, it says, here I am, no more hiding, because that is something else we do when we don't feel safe. We hide. We also pretend. We do a lot of things. But you are in this moment. I won't fight it. I'll be quiet. We can be quiet. We can have this posture, knowing that we have a good shepherd. So this is long, I know, it's Psalm 35, 1 through 10, but I promise it's worth it. So I'm going to read this. It's probably too small, I'm sorry. Okay, Psalm 35, 1 through 10. David says, contend, Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take up shield and armor, arise, and come to my aid. Brandish spear and javelin against those who pursue me. Say to me, I am your salvation. May those who seek my life be disgraced and put to shame. May those who plot my ruin be turned back in dismay. May they be like a chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. May their path be dark and slippery with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. Since they hid their net for me without cause, and without cause dug a pit for me, may ruin overtake them by surprise. May the net they hid entangle them. May they fall into the pit to their ruin. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation. My whole being will exclaim, who is like the Lord? You rescue the poor from those too strong for them, the poor and needy from those who rob them. So, now moving on to verse 32. It says that he didn't even spare his own son. Would he not then give us all things? He goes to great lengths to show us how much he loves us. John Piper makes the point that our biggest vulnerability isn't our sin. It's not other people's sin. It's not even the devil. Our biggest problem and our biggest challenge is that he has to look at his son and look at us and make a decision. And he has to decide who is going to pay for our sins, us or him. And he chose him. He puts it like this. He says it in two ways. I'm going to read it the first time, and then I'll read the other one, but you can leave that up, Denise. It's okay. The first one I'm going to read says, the point of verse 32 is that this love of, that. Let me start over. The point of verse 32 is that this love of God for his one and only son was like a massive Mount Everest obstacle standing between him and our salvation. Here was an obstacle almost insurmountable. Could God, would God, overcome his cherishing, admiring, treasuring, white-hot, affectionate bond with his son and deliver him over to be lied about and betrayed and abandoned and mocked and flogged and beaten and spit on and nailed to a cross and pierced with a sword like an animal being butchered? Would he really do that? Would he hand over the son of his love? If he would, then whatever goal he is pursuing could never be stopped. If that obstacle were overcome in the pursuit of his good, every obstacle would be overcome. And then the next verse that's up says, Piper says this, I called this one time the solid logic of heaven. It's an argument from the greater to the lesser, the hard to the easy, from the almost insurmountable obstacle to the easily surmountable obstacle. Since he did not spare his own son, that's the great thing, the hard thing, the insurmountable obstacle to our salvation, delivering over his son to torture, scorn, and sin-bearing death. If that can be done, then the lesser thing, the easy thing, will surely be done. His freely giving to us all that Christ bought for us, all things, the solid logic of heaven. So the point that Paul is making is if he'll hand over his beloved son for you, and what good thing will he withhold from you? John Piper says that this is the most important moment in all of life and faith. God's decision to look at his own son, his only son, and then look at you and me, and then choose us over him. There's a verse in Ezekiel that Joel read a few weeks ago, and it was about all that God does for us, all that he does for his children that he loves. And while he was reading it, I was picturing our trip to Israel and just looking out the window like you do as a kid when you're on a road trip, watching the hills of Israel go by. And I asked my techie son if he would help me, and I put Joel's words over that. And I thought it'd be sweet to share that with you guys.
These words of the Lord spoken over us, a God who pursues after his people. From Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16. And if you want to close your eyes and let these words wash over you, the powerful words of God. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock, when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in rich pasture. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, says the Lord your God.
Okay. So, the one who can actually do all of those things for us, that really can bring us to beautiful green pastures that we can lie down in and be safe and be quiet. He is the one who is for us, and he is the one who promises us that he is for us and that he can do all of those things for us. We can walk with confidence, And we can walk with courage, and we can love with confidence, and we can love with courage. So the one who did not even spare his own son, will he surely not give us all things? How do I accept that kind of love? How do I believe that I'm worthy of that kind of love? And go forward as a child of God, clothed in dignity and hope and strength and courage. Maybe our only choice is to follow his example and walk with humility. Instead of the pressure to be a lion, instead we can be a lamb, knowing that we have a good, good shepherd. I don't have to have the strength of a lion. I just have to remember who is for me. He came to show us what a real child of God looks like. Redeemed, not with perishable things, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or spot, trusting, loving, accepting, unwavering in truth, unworried about the acceptance of others, unbothered by the shortcomings of others. So because he, Almighty God, is for me and for us, we can walk as a wise lamb beside our shepherd, who has authored the story and who will not withhold what is good from us, and who will fight when others try to keep his good from us. So what does this mean, that he is for us and he didn't even withhold his own son? It means that when he was faced with a gut-wrenching choice, he chose us. He authored the story, and he is for us. The end. Thanks.
Thank you, Michelle. I so appreciated your vulnerability, and I love the idea that when we wonder and question whether God is for us, we just need to contemplate Jesus. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that you sacrificed your son for our sake. Lord, I pray that we would allow that truth to just settle in our hearts. And Lord, we also acknowledge that we as people can question and wonder whether you're for us at times, especially in times of pain. Father, I pray that we would truly contemplate your sacrifice, that we would sit with it, that we would be aware of the costs. And Lord, I pray that as we become aware, as Michelle said, of how much you are for us, that we would walk in a boldness and a courage. Lord, we thank you for the truth that was brought to us this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, I have just a few announcements this morning. One, thank you to Anne's group for providing our snack, and to Wendy Turney for providing our coffee this morning. Okay, couple things to note. We have service day next week, so that means we won't have a group providing snack, but let's see, I think there is somebody providing coffee, and I thought I had it here. Coffee reminder, Sandy Moody next week. Oh, wait, no? Oh, so sad. We will find another way. Thank you, Tracy Page. By the way, Tracy does all of that stuff for our church. Can we just give her a... She's hating me right now, but we all love Tracy Page, so she needs to know how much we love her. Okay. Couple things. So we have service day next week, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. And then the week after that is actually spring break. So I know, right? It's already upon us. So service day next week, let's just talk a little bit about that. If you haven't yet registered, you can do it now. Okay. So on the left, and they are the correct QR codes now. Just saying, they're different. Jessica had given you good ones last week. I know, I needed Jessica. So all that to say, service day signups on the Amazon list on the right. I didn't check the Amazon list, so I'm not sure where we're at with that, but hopefully close to getting all of those goodies. That said, it's going to be a really great day. These women who have been putting this together are, I'm seeing the emails that are going out, and there's just a real commitment to truly serving and coming with postures and hearts that want to serve. So I really encourage you guys to participate and find a way to be involved in that. Any questions about service day? No? All right. Good. We're good. Okay, then I am actually going to invite Sandy Moody up, and she's going to make an announcement. Come on, Sandy.
Good morning. I'm here to talk about EGM. So for those of you who go to Grace and were here last Sunday, Daniel Moody. Let's try this again. I'm claiming that. I actually have a son named Daniel. Daniel Watts, who started the EGM ministry way back at Mariners in the Day. And I've gone back with Daniel and Martel for over 40 years. But on Friday, May 2nd, which may be familiar to some of the Grace women whose husbands are going on the men's retreat that weekend, EGM is going to have their spring fling. And I got them to do a QR code so that you could sign up. We are really counting on the women to show up because so many of our men are going to be gone. And there's a golf tournament as well as a dinner afterwards. And where's my good friend Linda Patton, who plays golf? So she's looking for people, and I'll have to say, I happen to have tables, so if you're interested in attending, come and see me. But please stop me or get on the website, which is up there, egmworld.org, Spring Fling, for additional information. It's a wonderful ministry that does great things with children around the world, teaches God's word deeply and unashamedly, and lives are greatly touched because of what this ministry does worldwide. So I encourage you to come, and if you have any questions, please track me down.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sandy. I hope you guys will get involved. We do love EGM. Go and enjoy your small groups.